Another look now at the grim headline that became a real milestone for the NATO operation in Afghanistan. The helicopter crash on Saturday took place in the Tangi Valley of Wardak province, far from the traditional insurgent strongholds in the south, along the border with Pakistan in the east. The Taliban has claimed responsibility for the attack, which represented the deadliest day for American troops in Afghanistan. 30 dead, 22 Navy SEALs, and 10 other Americans. It comes as American and NATO troops begin officially a drawdown in the region. We talked with a Navy SEAL, a former Navy SEAL, earlier in the program, and now we're joined by Christine Fair, assistant professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. It was actually an emotional conversation to speak with our friend from Minneapolis, who's a former Navy SEAL, describing this sort of mission of solidarity and needing no sort of incentive to want to go and rescue and help out other soldiers in harm's way in Afghanistan. But I'm wondering if the broader sense of the special ops capability and the Navy SEALs in Afghanistan is brought into question in some sense after this horrible downing of a helicopter with a single rocket-propelled grenade on the border with Pakistan?
Oh, I don't think so at all. There's obviously going to be some sort of investigation as to how it is that a single RPG hit brought this down. But there's no reason to think that this is going to foreshadow anything about a change in operations the way we do business. I mean, this is horrible. It is unprecedented in its tragedy and lethality, but they do these operations all the time. And with this new effort to try to get out of Afghanistan, we're going to see more of these kinds of efforts, not fewer of them. And so this is just math, right? As things go up, so do the opportunities for things to go bad, unfortunately.
Well, but it's a pretty grim math, Christine Fair. I guess I'm just wondering, strategically speaking, if the number of special ops raids goes up, mm-hmm. the likelihood of these twin-rotor Chinooks filled with some of the most capable soldiers in the U.S. military being targets of rocket-propelled grenades is going to increase, and you get these enormous headlines, it seems to call into question the operation in Afghanistan politically here at home, and that's exactly what the Taliban wants.
Well, okay, so a couple of things. I mean, these are big, slow-moving target. This particular aircraft, they're large, they're slow-moving, and they tend to fly low, right? So those are very naturally helicopters that are going to be much more easy to target. And obviously, they're also helicopters that have a larger capacity. So what I said was they're going to take, there'll be an investigation about the events surrounding this particular tragedy, and they will reoptimize accordingly. Now, I will tell you this much. So when the news of this broke in the United States here, I believe that was Saturday morning, quite frankly, there was no coverage of it. I mean, I was really quite appalled. There was this little itty-bitty ticker on, I think, Fox and Friends or whatever channel I happened to be vegetating in front of, but there was absolutely no reportage of it. By Saturday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I did a print interview about this, there was still only two articles about the crash in sort of mainstream media. And so I actually was somewhat surprised to see that this hadn't engendered more outrage than it had. Remember, SEAL Team 6 was the team that brought down bin Laden. But I do think that there is this sense right now in the American public that there's been so much focus upon the circus of idiocy in Congress around the debt crisis, the debt ceiling, and now about jobs. I actually didn't sort of see the kind of outrage that you would have suggested. And quite frankly, I mean, as you know, I'm an opponent of this continued counterinsurgency effort in Afghanistan as framed. We're not going to be able to do anything for this country that it doesn't want to do for itself. And so I saw this tragedy with just so much, just sense of deeply being appalled, because what's worth the price at this point? But that being said, even as the news cycle churned out over the weekend, this really didn't get the news that it should have covered. New York, obviously the Washington Post ran a cover on it yesterday, but there hasn't been the nonstop coverage of this. It simply hasn't happened.
Which almost underscores the question that you raised, Christine Fair, at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University. I mean, You know, this is a huge capability, this special ops capability that the U.S. has and has developed over years. I mean, each one of these soldiers, decades of training, lots and lots of experience. It just seems like, and with the U.S. not focused on it, the American public not focused on it, that the consequence of this battle with the Taliban, and I got in trouble last time I talked with you suggesting the Taliban wasn't an enemy of the United States and the way Al-Qaeda is, that we're going to waste this capability in this conflict with the Taliban.
Well, they took your content. Obviously there's lunatics out there in cyberspace everywhere. I think they took the entire conversation out of context. Your point was that Al-Qaeda is our enemy. If we were not in Afghanistan at present, they would not be killing us.
And
the Taliban. Right. And there's no reason to think the Taliban of 10 years ago or the Taliban of today, because while our strategy has not evolved, their organization has. I mean, that was your point, and I think, and I agree with your point. I also agree with your general point that, you know, we are in a significant operations, we have a significant operations tempo. Many of the young men that I've met, I've only been to Iraq once, so I don't want to, you know, overstate that, but lots of time in Afghanistan and an extensive trip to Iraq, and, I met young men who finished up basic training right out of high school, and they spent their entire young adulthood in deployment. There are significant veterans coming back with physical disabilities, obviously mental health issues that have simply been beyond the scope of our system to provide for. So when you put all of this in totality, so leave aside operational capability, look at the way in which it's affecting our budget. It's like, I'm so tired of these people hollering about entitlements. Entitlements didn't friggin' break us, right? The damned Iraq War did. I mean, sorry, it's not welfare that has put us into this morass. It was the Iraq War. So, you know, when you put all of this cost into perspective in terms of the wear in our economy, the long-term consequences of our veterans and the negligence that we've paid to our veterans and our decreasing financial capability to handle the problems that our veterans and their families are going to be faced with, you really do have to come back to the question that you keep asking, is this worth it? And you know my answer is very much where you are. The answer is no.
Christine Fair, assistant professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University, reacting to the sobering news over the weekend, the largest single loss of life in the NATO operation in Afghanistan from a Chinook helicopter being downed by the Taliban in an area of the insurgency over near the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. Christine, thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.